Greetings and welcome to another Ledger Literary Synopsis. Today's synopsis is of The Deerslayer by James Fenimore Cooper, who lived between 1789 and 1851. The type of work is considered a realistic North American colonial adventure novel. The setting is Lake Glimmerglass in New York. The year is 1740. The principal characters are Natty Bumppo, a skilled young woodsman known as Hawkeye to the Mingo Indians and as Deerslayer to the Delaware. Henry March, Hurry Harry, a large, reckless woodsman. Tom Hutter, a settler living on a Glimmerglass Lake houseboat. Judith Hutter, Tom's beautiful daughter. Hetty Hutter, Judith's half-wit sister. Chingachgook, Mohican chief and friend of Deerslayer. Heast, also known as Watawa, Chingachgook's love. And Rivenoak, a Mingo chieftain. Commentary. The Deerslayer, written in 1841, is the first of Cooper's classic Leatherstocking tales about early American frontiersman Natty Bumppo. Stories that address many conflicting themes that have been revisited in the 20th century. Reverence for nature, contrasted with the contention that civilization must destroy nature. The paradox of considering Native American savages, quote-unquote, somehow both inferior and superior to Christian colonists. And the sad truth that people of integrity often find themselves isolated from the community in which they live. Cooper also implies that the Christian settlers were hypocritical, preaching one thing and doing another insofar as their treatment of Native Americans was concerned. Deerslayer's code of conduct is based on respect for every living thing, a belief that proves a source of conflict for many who seek to seize upon the American dream, quote-unquote. When he engages in a shooting contest with a Mohican chief and kills several waterfowl, he later expresses regret. We've done an unthoughtful thing in taking life with an object no better than vanity. Cooper lived both in Europe and America. After writing some 32 novels, he died in 1851 near Lake Glimmerglass in Cooperstown, New York. Here's the story overview. Natty Bumppo, known as the Deerslayer, and Henry Hurry March were traveling through the woods to Tom Hutter's home at Lake Glimmerglass. Deerslayer planned a rendezvous in the area with Chingachgook, a Mohican chieftain, and Hurry had come to see Hutter's eldest daughter, Judith, whom he adored. If she were already married, Hurry vowed, he would kill her husband. When Deerslayer threatened to inform the other settlers if Hurry went to murdering, the enormous woodsman grabbed Deerslayer and shook him until his bones rattled. But Deerslayer remained calm. "You may shake until you bring down the mountain," he said, "but nothing but the truth will you shake from me." When the two men reached Hutter's fortified cabin, they couldn't find Hutter or his houseboat. Remembering that Hutter occasionally moved in from one side of the lake to the other, they took a canoe and went in search of him. They were in Mingo territory, and it was natural to speak of Indians as they paddled. Hurry regarded Indians as half-human. To him, taking their scalps for money was totally justifiable. Deerslayer strongly disagreed. Even though it was a customary practice for savages to take scalps, it was wrong for Christians who understood that, quote, God made all alike, end quote. Finally, the men came upon Hutter's houseboat, and Hurry introduced Deerslayer to Hutter and his two daughters. Judith was just as beautiful and refined as Hurry had boasted, while her younger sister, Hattie, was sweet but dull and slow-witted. There was little time for talk, however. The Mingos were on the warpath, and Tom was anxious to maneuver the boat away from shore. Even as he sank his pole into the lake, six Indians bolted from the trees and attempted to jump aboard. Five warriors landed in the water, and as the sixth struggled to gain his balance on deck, Judith pushed him in after them. Shots rang out from other Indians on the bank, and Deerslayer urgently pulled Judith inside the boat as her father guided their craft safely out of range. Deerslayer had come to the area on a mission of mercy, to help his friend Chingachgook rescue his lover, Hist, from the Mingos. But now Hutter and Hurry wanted Deerslayer to help them raid the Mingo camp for scalps. On moral grounds alone, Deerslayer strongly opposed the idea. but finally did agree to stay behind on the boat and defend Hutter's two daughters. Hutter and Hurry paddled off toward the Mingo camp. But as Deerslayer made his way back to the houseboat, he heard the screams of his friends coming from the forest and knew the white men had already been captured. As Deerslayer's canoe approached the shoreline, he was confronted by a Mingo. The two discharged their weapons simultaneously. The Mingo's bullet missed, Deerslayer's did not. The maimed Indian, before crumpling to the ground, rushed forward in a frenzy of rage and threw his tomahawk, which Deerslayer caught in mid-flight. Before returning to the boat, the woodsman tended to the needs of his dying enemy. Then, after informing the girls of their father's and Hurry's predicament, he paddled to a nearby rendezvous with Chingachgook to plan the rescue of all three prisoners. He found that Chingachgook had already scouted the Mingo camp and had caught a glimpse of Hutter and Hist unharmed. But as the two friends talked, they saw Hetty resolutely rowing by in one of the canoes toward the enemy camp on a rescue mission of her own. Deerslayer did not go after her, and later assured Judith that her sister was safe. Indians didn't harm those that they considered slow-witted. At the Mingo camp, Hetty argued with Chief Rivenoak, trying to convince him to release her father. "Love your enemies," she preached, quoting from the Bible. "Do good to them that hate you." Rivenoak replied, "Why does the white man forget himself? All the Bible says." Confused, the simple girl broke down in tears. The white prisoners were soon freed in exchange for some ivory chess pieces, which Judith and Deerslayer had found in Tom Hutter's weathered old sea chest, whereupon Hurry tried improvidently to shoot his erstwhile captors. Although he was thwarted in his attempt by Deerslayer, the Mingos then threw a bundle of blood-dipped sticks on the white men's boat to show that they were still on the warpath, and by the time Hurry, Tom, and Chingachgook returned to the Mingo camp to rescue Hist, the Indians had moved. When they finally located the new campsite, the men crept forward and found Hist in one of the teepees, but before they could free her, a Mingo squaw detected their presence and ran to alert the rest of the camp. Deerslayer, acting as a decoy, distracted the Mingos so that the others could escape, but was captured in the process. The jubilant Mingos hauled the woodsmen to the center of their camp, where Chief Rivenoak, calling Deerslayer by his Mingo name, tried to persuade him to abandon his friends and join up with the tribe. "Hawkeye should have been born a Mingo," he declared. Deerslayer, who had been raised by the Delawares, admitted that though white in blood, he was a little redskin in feelings and habits. "Hutter is not a man to gain my love," he added, but still he couldn't betray his companions. After Chingachgook and Hist had arrived at the houseboat, Hutter and Hurry decided to backtrack to Hutter's lakeside cabin. There, however, they found the Mingos waiting them. As the two entered the cabin, the Indians struck, and within seconds, Hutter lay dying on the ground. Hurry managed to escape out the back door. Judith and Hetty returned to the cabin just in time to hear Hutter direct them with his last gasp to "Look in the chest, 'tis all there." And indeed, following a fitting ceremony and after depositing their father's body into the lake, the young women opened his old sea chest. Inside, they found documents showing that Hutter was not, in fact, their father. He had married their mother when they were babies, after their own father had abandoned them. And what's more, Hutter had apparently once been a pirate, which explained why he had insisted on living on a boat. Meanwhile, the Mingos sent Deerslayer back to the cabin with a proposal. All the men, including himself, could depart in peace if Hist and the Hutter girls would agree to surrender themselves in their stead and live among the Mingos. Deerslayer promised to deliver this ultimatum and to return to his captors if the bargain was rejected. Judith, who had come to care for Deerslayer, was stung that he would even consider these conditions. "And do you bring such a message to me?" she retorted. "Am I a girl to be an Indian slave?" Humbled by her words, Deerslayer prepared to return to the Mingos and face certain torture. He left his mournful friends and returned as pledge to the Mingos, who marveled at his sense of honor. "My people are happy in having captured a man and not a skulking fox," Rivenoak told him. Then he offered Deerslayer his life if he would marry the widow of the Indian he had killed earlier. When Deerslayer declined the offer, the widow's brother, furiously insulted, launched a tomahawk at his chest, and with cat-like quickness, the woodsman caught the weapon in flight and flung it back, striking the Indian between the eyes. Then, in the resulting pandemonium, Deerslayer fled. The Indians lost no time in recapturing their quarry. This time they bound him and began to use his body for target practice, bringing their bullets closer and closer with each shot. But Deerslayer, wounded and bleeding, didn't flinch. And then, completely unexpectedly, Hetty again appeared in camp, pleading once more for the Indians to exercise Christian mercy. "You are tormenting your friend in tormenting this young man," she said. But Rivenoak ignored her. Let the pale face show how little he cares for Mingo bullets. They shot at him again, but Deerslayer only mocked them, saying, "We've squaws among the Delaware that could outdo your greatest endeavors." At these words, the Indians became more inflamed. Then Judith also appeared, disguised as an old woman, and attempted to barter for Deerslayer's life. Her efforts failed, however, when the confused Hetty exposed her sister's true identity. By now thoroughly enraged by the events, Rivenoak lit a circle of fire around his bound enemy. But at just the last moment, Chingachgook and Hist raced into camp, leapt the flames, and cut Deerslayer loose. As he sprang free, a Mingo lunged at Chingachgook with his knife. Hist deflected the blade, and Chingachgook then launched his own knife at the warrior, killing him. Deerslayer seized a rifle, and he and his friends, greatly outnumbered, prepared to fight for their lives. All at once, at the height of the fighting, a British army platoon broke through the clearing with Hurry March at the lead. The soldiers opened fire on the Mingos, sending them scurrying into the brush, but Hetty was fatally wounded in the skirmish. "I wish you would try to be more like Deerslayer," she told Hurry with her dying breath. Then, raising her eyes to the sky, she gasped, "I see mother and bright beings beyond her in the lake." Like Tom, she was buried in Lake Glimmerglass. Weeks later, Judith bluntly asked Deerslayer to marry her. Turning to her, he gently explained that he desired freedom more than he desired the lovely Judith. 15 years later, Deerslayer again visited Lake Glimmerglass with Chingachgook and Chingachgook's son, Uncas. There, by the side of the water, they found Hutter's cabin and boat, both ravaged by time. Melancholy monuments to the people who had lived and died there.